This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Number three is to pay all debts. So seeking forgiveness is paying debts in the spiritual sense. Number three is to financially pay those debts if you can, inshallah ta'ala. Now, just from a fiqhi perspective, a jurisprudence perspective, someone might ask, can I go to Hajj if I have a debt, a revolving debt? So for example, I pay, monthly on my house. You know, can I still go to Hajj having that debt? The answer is yes, because your Hajj, going to Hajj will not affect your monthly payment, if you will. Now, let's say, I owe somebody money, but at the same time, I want to go to Hajj. In that situation, you want to make sure, obviously, that the person that you owe money to is aware of that, and you need to seek their permission in a way. And what that means is that they have a greater right to be paid back than you going to Hajj at that point. So you want to make sure if you owe somebody money and you're able to go to Hajj, that they understand that you seek their permission to do so, and that it's not going to lead to an unnecessary delay in you paying that person back. So you still should go to Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, if you can, but at the same time, especially with revolving debt, which is the nature of most debt that we have today, if there's something that's due, then make sure that this isn't going to lead to a delay and that you sought permission from the debtor. Number four is to prepare your wasiyah, to have your will done. This is something that's obligatory on a Muslim regardless, to have their will done. But realize that you're literally going to Hajj with this mindset that you're not coming back. That's how it works. That's part of the spirituality of it. Mutu qabla an tamutu, that you die before you actually die. You are mimicking the stages of death. So you really need to get your will in place before you leave, inshallah ta'ala, to Hajj. And that's an obligation with or without Hajj. If you don't have a smartphone with you during that time, then just buy the little book. It's a little handbook. Fortress of the Muslim. So it has the du'as for Hajj and Umrah, and it has just different du'as that you can benefit from in different categories as you're going through the process. It really comes in handy, for example, on the day of Arafah. If you're looking for, just different du'as to go through, because believe me, on the day of Arafah, people do run out of du'as at some point. It's a few hours, so especially if that's your first time, and you're not accustomed to making dua for 6 hours straight, right? You might run out of du'as at some point, but you don't want to stop making dua. And so if you want to actually take a moment to read some of the authentic supplications of the Prophet ﷺ for different things, it's a very good resource to have, inshallah ta'ala. Some of your preparation tips from a prescription medication, and I'm not a doctor here, but there are two drugs that you're going to hear about quite a bit in Hajj. One of them is amoxicillin, and the other one's zithromycin or Zithromax. So people will be prescribing that right and left. Obviously, because people tend to get sick before the Hajj days actually start, especially people that are overzealous and try to overexert themselves before the Hajj days actually start. They go so strong from the first of the Hijjah until the Hajj days that they're just absolutely exhausted and worn out and sick by the time the actual Hajj process starts. But it's good to have over-the-counter medication just for different things, inshallah ta'ala, to really try to boost your immune system as much as possible. So to really be regular with your vitamin C, and you could have your Sudafed and your chloroseptic spray and whatever it may be during that time, inshallah ta'ala. Vaseline to apply to the inner thighs for the men wearing ihram in particular. That's very, very important. It is going to be your best friend, inshallah. So make sure that you get that, that you have that before you go, or you get it over there before we, if you've got a Medina First package before you head out to Mecca, make sure that you actually have that. Just be conscious of the type of clothes that you're going to wear while you're there. Having those light material thobes and just having those cheap plastic slippers that you can buy even in the street over there in Medina, in particular, those come in handy while you're there. Even if you're not typically, especially to the brothers now, by the way, if you're not typically a thobe person, you're not typically someone that would wear one of these, it's very convenient with the type of weather over there and the type of environment for you to just have those light material thobes, inshallah ta'ala, to wear while you're going around. And of course, you could buy some of those when you're actually in Medina. When it comes to your ihram towels, okay? And they literally are towels, right? If you're flying to Jeddah first, because if you're flying to Jeddah, obviously, you're going to need to be in ihram on the plane because you're flying over a miqat. So you're going to land in your ihram. Make sure you pack your ihram in your carry-on bag, because that happens to a ton of people, that their ihram gets lost in their luggage and they connect somewhere on the way and then they end up wondering where their ihram is. So make sure that you pack it in your carry-on, inshallah ta'ala. Otherwise, you can buy it in Medina. So there's no short, I guarantee you, Medina will not run out of ihram in the Hajj days. So that's just something to keep in mind over there. You can wear as many ihrams as you want, meaning your ihram is a state. It's not necessary. It's not the towels or the clothes the towels that you're going to be wearing. So you can have two or three pairs of it, so that when it gets really dirty, and you're not going to have access to get it washed, then you can easily just put on a different set. And obviously, it's good to have an emergency backup one just in case, something happens to the one that you're wearing, inshallah ta'ala. They also have those ihram belts, which are very, very helpful to hold your ihram in place. Those are totally permissible. They have safety pins that you can actually buy here as well. But just keeping safety pins, inshallah ta'ala, especially to hold your ihram in place, that's something that can definitely be used. One thing I would avoid, and the vast majority of scholars don't permit this, are the ihrams that have the buttons in place. So they seem very convenient, but it actually defeats the purpose of ihram in some way, to have ihrams that are like shirts, that have buttons and things of that sort. So it's better to leave it all together, and at the most, you could use some safety pins, inshallah ta'ala, to hold it in place, when you need to move it around and things of that sort. One thing as well, so don't bring a lot of money, don't bring a lot of credit cards, you don't need to have all of those things. Just have one card and have a little bit of cash, inshallah ta'ala, to get yourself through. It becomes very inconvenient. I tell people this, and I know that it sounds crazy, but if you can go to Hajj with a carry-on and make it out with a carry-on, you've succeeded. I never do a suitcase to Hajj. The sisters are looking at me like, that's that's you, but no, but I'm serious. The lighter you can go to Hajj, the better. The lighter you can go to Hajj, the better, because it's going to be such a hassle with your luggage throughout the process. Luggage often gets lost at some point during the Hajj, going to Hajj or whatever it may be. The lighter you can go, the better. If you can figure it out in a carry-on, alhamdulillah. And you can buy, especially for the brothers, some cheap thobes over there, whatever it may be, to get yourself by. But try to go light, inshallah ta'ala. There's a Hajj guide that's going to be given to you at the airport. There might be some different opinions to some of the things that you've heard in this lecture. It'll be very minor. But again, you need to stick to one. But to have something with you, inshallah ta'ala. So whether it's this Hajj step by step or something with you for the different steps is something that's good for you, inshallah ta'ala. I definitely recommend having hand sanitizer, unscented, obviously, for the time of your ihram. Even if it's slightly scented, it's not a big deal if you use it in your ihram. All right? So because nothing is absolutely unscented. Even if it's a very, very slight scent, it's not like perfume, it's like a very slight scent, then inshallah ta'ala, it's fine. But I definitely recommend a person having that, inshallah ta'ala. You don't have to go loaded with it. You can buy some in Medina, inshallah ta'ala. Having bags, and you're not going to find toilet paper over there in many places. So just having that in place, inshallah ta'ala, you can get that from Medina if you're starting off in Medina as well. One thing that you're also going to see are those different tablets or Gatorade packets or whatever it may be, those different rehydration tablets. Those really do come in handy. And usually what ends up happening is you have three or four people that brought, some rehydration tablets or things of that sort that are sort of sharing with the rest of the group. But obviously, if everybody's counting on someone else to do that, then they're not going to do that. But, it's very important to avoid dehydration, obviously, with the long walks. It is extremely hot, extremely, extremely, extremely hot. Last year was ridiculous. Every single day was well over 100 degrees. And obviously a lot of walking and crowds and things of that sort. So it's important for you to keep that in mind, inshallah ta'ala. For Muzdalifa, there are no beds in Muzdalifa. There are no accommodations there. So to have what's called a yoga mat. Now over there, there's a store called Bin Dawood that you're going to see in different places. So if you're going to Medina first or whatever it may be, even Mecca first, to have a little mat, you know, a little yoga mat for yourself, inshallah ta'ala, something to spread out on the day of Muzdalifa to sleep on. You know, it's also something to keep in mind. And one of the most helpful things you can have is a shoe bag. Those really tiny bags that you can put on your back, inshallah, and carry your shoes, because you're not going to be able to put your shoes, you know, in different places and come back to them often, especially in Mecca. So to have a shoe bag is really important. Ask your group if they're providing you one. Okay, if your group is not providing you one, buy one. It's worth the investment. It does not violate your ihram, because just those strings, you just kind of put them on your back and you keep your shoes with you at all times, inshallah ta'ala. Very thick socks for tawaf outside of ihram. Now, sisters can wear socks even inside, you know, in their ihram. Brothers, for the time that you're going to be doing tawaf and you're going to be doing sa'i and so on and so forth outside of ihram, it will come in handy to have some really thick socks, inshallah ta'ala, or something that can protect your feet, because you're going to get blisters and you're going to get, you know, you're going to have a lot of those issues, especially with the way that the surface is over there, with all the construction and stuff like that. I know they've cleaned up most of it, but you're walking on stones, then you're walking on this, then you're walking on that. So make sure you have that, inshallah ta'ala, to keep yourself, protected. Saudi SIM cards, how does that work, Uthman? No. All right. So Saudi SIM cards have gotten very complicated recently, because they like require, you to have your passport. They require you to go through. Okay, so have a copy of your passport and a copy of your visa on hand, inshallah ta'ala. Because obviously they take your passport when you get to the airport. So to get a Saudi SIM card, you actually have to show that to get that, inshallah ta'ala. But that's just one thing there. Number 17 is don't be a tourist or a photographer. That's really important. I'll sort of talk about that, inshallah ta'ala. But seriously, chill with the pictures while you're there. You're there for Hajj. Don't take too many pictures, inshallah. Make two copies of your passport. Keep one at home, you know, over here and with someone in the U.S. And then keep one with you, because your passports go through all sorts of processing. So it does come in handy to really have a copy of your passport with you, inshallah ta'ala.